sound of the calling on the 13th of August 1962, Cicero Rose Street, Medium, Pleasant Place.
All around are innumerable souls. Vast multitudes of peoples. Drawn towards the earth. Bringing power of spirit in the hope of being able to assist and help mankind. When I and other souls come on such an occasion as this, we are more than ever aware of the needs of the peoples of earth, going about their daily lives, doing all manner of things common to the human race, and yet ignorant of the simplest spiritual truth. This to us is a cause for great unhappiness. We strive with every part of our being to infiltrate here and there some small speck of truth. The vast majorities of peoples are ignorant. We cannot break down the barriers created by centuries of ignorance and prejudice and intolerance and fears of all manner and all nature of things. The prejudices that man has built up within himself over centuries upon centuries of time makes it even more hard, more difficult to reach him. When we find, as we do on these rare occasions, some soul or souls who are anxious for truth, whose minds are freed, no longer shackled by creed and dogma and prejudice and intolerance, to us it is a time of great rejoicing. No effort that we may make is too great. No sacrifice that we may be called upon to do is too much. For a long time I have longed for these opportunities such as are presented to me now. Other souls have come and manifested and spoken, some very well, some not so well. They have been drawn, as it were, towards the earth from the same motives, from the same high principles as myself. Some have benefited many souls on earth in varying ways and degree, but all those souls particularly that are of our group who have prepared the path and the way for myself and others yet to come, we are infinitely grateful. I do not think it is possible for anyone in your world to realize how they have worked over a long period of time, from the early development of the instrument. The instrument who was brought into being in this particular incarnation for service, who was indeed selected and prepared in spirit for this work. And we are grateful for all that which has been done. But now the time has truly come when our work of the spirit should truly commence on its vibration for which it was intended. When a gardener prepares the ground, means a great deal of hard work, much sifting of soil, much effort is gone into the initial stages of preparation, so that in time it shall blossom forth. We at this moment feel that our work has truly commenced. For those things that we hope to do, for those things that we hope to give to you, are for the world. They are not for odd individuals who are seeking the personal message, often of a material nature, though we do not, of course, despise that, for it is all part of our work. It is essential, indeed. Is imperative. But at this present time, I feel as I speak to you that the whole atmosphere has changed. The vibrations are conducive, and the mediumship has developed to a degree where on such occasions as this, I and other souls can come freely and without great effort. Certain things I have told you in regard to the incarnation from our side that would make that possible which we had hoped and planned. Mediums themselves are often the worst for realizing and understanding and fully knowing what is taking place around them. This may sound a strange thing to say, but nevertheless it is often true. Mediums themselves are products of so many influences, so many vibrations, so many conditions, often beyond their knowledge and often beyond their control. And I knew that for a number of years, in any case, a certain type of work had to be fulfilled, a certain amount of effort had to be made in that direction. But at a certain time, I knew that we would be able, eventually, to enter more fully into the mediumship and the development of it on the line for which I and others have been most anxious to pursue. I want particularly the medium to stand in a sense a part. This, I think, is important. Inasmuch and although we know the value of the mediumship and the possibilities of the mediumship, and we have every reason to believe that we shall achieve many of the things that we now have set our hearts upon, I want the instrument particularly to remain impartial, I suppose is the word. I do not want him to have any preconceived ideas. For that matter, neither do I wish you. Likewise, I do not think so much perhaps with you as with the instrument. It is a natural instinct, I suppose, particularly with a medium, that they should be fully conscious and fully aware of all that is going on within themselves, and in particular with that instrumentality as a medium. There are many reasons why it is best that he should to some extent at least remain, as it were, impartial. By this I do not mean to say that he should not be sufficiently interested to ask questions, or that he should not quite naturally and instinctively be curious and want to know many things, like unto yourself. All these things are to be expected. But what I am most anxious about is that he should have his mind completely open and free. He should not in any way allow himself to be prejudiced one way or another in regard to anything that we may say, particularly when it refers to individuals, people, particularly people who are still on your side. I have my reasons, and I think you will agree, from past experience perhaps, if not present and future experience to come, that it is as well, always for the instant, to try to be completely impartial, to be completely unprejudiced. Whatever may be said, particularly if it does not fit in, as you would say, with certain preconceived ideas, not to dismiss them, and not necessarily if one cannot accept, but always to remember, as I told you only a few nights ago, we shall say things, I in particular shall say things, which may not always fit in with certain preconceived ideas, or what you might particularly think. But the point is, truth is to me and to all of us the most important thing of all. For it is truth that we serve, and there is no greater religion, there is no greater experience than truth. And to find truth, one may go devious ways, and sometimes truth itself is not always palatable. Until such time as the person concerned has changed themselves and they can accept it. That is why much that we may say, and much perhaps which has been said in the past, is not appreciated, but accepted in certain quarters, by certain peoples. It never is. Truth has never been popular, particularly when one realizes that truth is invariably the opposite to the material conception of life and experience. When we tell a person truth, it is often difficult to accept. All the great ones of past ages who spoke truth were not necessarily well received, especially in some quarters, because of the preconceived ideas and prejudices. When we talk of reincarnation, we are bound to offend, indeed, some peoples. But those who are prepared to have their eyes opened, those in your world who are prepared to listen and to learn, these can we help. These can we set on the path, the true path, the spiritual experience. But in all these things, it means, to some extent, the discarding of much of the old self, the old way of life even. Sometimes it means sacrificing, which is not always easy to make. Each one of you have arrived, as it were, at a certain point. Each one of you have arrived as if you were traveling on some vehicle, and you have reached a certain point on your journey. There are those who are lagging, as it were, behind. And they are, as it were, like the traveller who takes the road for the first time, and the vista is new and different, and he knows not what lies ahead. He is curious and anxious to travel further on. You may have heard certain things in regard to his journey by some who previously made it, and perhaps he has some little knowledge and inkling of what to expect. This often is a good thing for some people. For others, it is not a good thing, because they are not ready, they are not prepared. is true, if you are doing a lijani. And someone can come and tell you, who has done this journey previously, what to expect, how to prepare yourself, what to take with you and what to leave behind, then it is a good thing, if properly understood and accepted. But each soul in our group, and I refer to those on the earth, are on the same path. They are all at different points. And each one is linked to the other. There are some who are reaching the end of that journey. Others just beginning. It is important to realize that each one has been fitted out, has been equipped, so that they can experience on this journey through time, through life, all that is necessary, all that is essential, all that is good for them. Reincarnation, as we understand it, is like this, like a man who takes a journey on a road which is unfamiliar. He reaches a certain point and he stays, as it were, overnight for a refreshment. And when he has been refreshed and rested, he starts off again full of renewed vigor, full of intense hope for what that part of the journey shall bring. And he meets many people on the way, and he learns much. And as he has traveled more and more and more, so he becomes more accustomed to travel, more wise. He's more prepared for all the vicissitudes of a long journey through time. There are those of you, as I've said, who are only just beginning this journey. You see, with us, time is of little or no importance as such. Experience is what matters, not time. Experience that enables us to become truly, spiritually wise, which gives us the opportunity by experience through all kinds and manner of life, gives us the opportunity gain wisdom and experience. You, Neelam, and others in this house, and others outside this house, are all on this road of which I speak through time. And each one of you are linked and tied, as it were, with bonds which nothing can break. And those who have finished the journey, those who have seen and experienced all the past, all the vistas that have been experienced and assimilated, and all the incidents that have happened en route, all these are recorded and our past memories, and we bring them back with us as we enter into the earth's vibration. Then we stay a little while and speak to you who are still on the journey through the earth. some of you have reached almost the end of earthly experience. You have reached, as it were, the goal that has been set. And you have found a new way of life and a new experience. And you are ready to enter into the highest spheres and become truly freed of all the things which hold you tightly bound, for the time being at least, to earthly things. All the experiences of life and all the varying conditions and all the different incarnations have all been so important and so essential, so necessary. But as you have grown in knowledge, you have kept to yourself, as it were, all that has been good for a past existence, and have discarded the old and the worser self. Only people would realize how important it is to truly assess all these different incarnations and realize how vital and important they are, and how, if it were not for them, how little we could have hoped to have become spiritually grown and spiritually adult. You cannot become truly spiritual until you have wrested, as it were, from the earthly existence all the experiences that only earth can give, and you have to learn true values, and above all, I suppose, the most important thing of all, if you wish to advance, is to remember and to realize that it is through others, though we often do not realize it and see it at the time, but it is through others that we rise. For in others we see, as it were, ourselves as if a mirror were held before us. And we see what to emulate, and we see what to discard. We realize there is much that we have to forget, and much that we have to remember. Life, whatever phase it may be, whatever particular period of time it may be, or even when, as in my own case, one is outside time, one realizes fully how vital and how important every experience is. For it is by these experiences, it is by these many, many varying aspects of our lives that we truly become a person in a spiritual sense. The earth world is full of untold numbers of people who are ignorant of themselves, and it is so vital and important to discover oneself. And often it takes generations of time, many incarnations, to even to begin to discover one's true self. People do not see their true selves until they have seen in others the reflections of their varying natures, and gradually they begin to see and discard much that is bad in themselves. That is why on this side of life many souls, go to the lower spheres, and as you've been told, perform what I suppose one could say are plays, which are much nearer the old Greek tragedies, the old Greek plays of long ago, where they depict all the varying human frailties, where they give what I suppose one might call morality plays, where people can see themselves. It is only, as I've said, when you hold up, as it were, the mirror of nature that you begin to perceive, and you begin in consequence to start to change. And that is why so many incarnations are necessary, because so many do not learn. They have to come back again and again and again to learn. Often it is hard and bitter, and sometimes it even seems perhaps pointless. But the time comes when man discovers that if he has hope in his heart, he will find truly that path that is his to tread. And every man's path is not the same. For one man's unfoldment may be vastly different to another's. That is why we oftentimes say to you, do not condemn any soul, any man, for his path is different. And it is also possible that he has only reached a very early stage of his development and unfoldment. And it may be that you have been sent into his life at a certain given moment to help him. Complexities in these things are difficult at times to understand. When you have this knowledge of incarnations, when you realize how old is the spirit of man, when you realize that only in an earthly sense can you term and judge time, when you realize that the spirit is not confined by it, but the spirit that animates man in time is the thing that matters most, that the spirit must discover also, through experience often, on earth, certain things that are necessary for its full unfoldment. So it takes upon itself flesh that it might experience certain things that are essential to its growth. The earthly bodies serve their purpose. They are but shells, animated shells, but they give the spirit opportunity for growth, for experience, for development, for unfoldment. His search for truth. Spirit, in a sense, is indefinable. And yet it has shape and it has form, it has meaning, it has logic. And yet we cannot define it. We only know that it is that force, that power, which animates all life, whether it is in human beings or whether it is in nature on the earthly plane. For all that is inherited has life. There is nothing that is without life even that which seems inanimate, as the world calls it, is dead. Yet it has life and returns to life. For that which constitutes even the earth is life. And life comes from the earth and departs from the earth. And life is eternal, has no beginning and no end. But what I want perhaps most for you to understand out of the intricacies of these things is that man is always evolving. He is becoming more and more, if you like to use the expression or term, a personality, an individual. He is forming, as it were, himself through all experience and time. And that is the reason why it is so important and essential for incarnations. There are some in your world who do not like the sound of incarnation, who reject it, and think foolishly that one life is sufficient, and in that one life they can possibly assimilate all that is necessary. And in any case, the majorities of people who have any faith or religion or belief at all consider that the earth world, which has its purpose and its meaning, nevertheless is not important in the same sense as we understand it. They think that the earth world is but a temporary place and that the spiritual world is eternal. In this, of course, there is great truth. But their conception is odd and often wrong, because the earth world is the schoolroom of life. But the point is that it exists in its form and in its shape and in its being, that the spirit, which has always been there, shall take shape and form and experience and mold itself from the smallest speck, if you like, into something that is powerful. It is difficult to explain this, and what I am trying desperately for you to realize is there are many in your world who think that once they leave the earth, they immediately enter into the world of the spirit, and that they go on and on and on, and that they will be identically to all outward shape and appearance as they were in a physical sense. This is not altogether accurate, but it is man's conception, given to him by background and religion. He has this kind of faith without experience and without knowledge, and it suffices. But do not misunderstand me. I do not deny the reality, obviously, of the power of the spirit. I would not be here otherwise. But what I want clearly for people to understand is that man is born, as you term it, in a physical sense into the earth, and the shape that he assumes is man. The animating force is the spirit. But the animating force that is the spirit is dynamic. It is this animating force called the spirit that is life itself. And that to those who are highly experienced and evolved, they of course do have shape as man, so that they are recognized as such in the realms of spirit. But they have assimilated and taken so much through many experiences of time that they are far removed from the conception of man as man understands man to be. There are those in your world who like to think that when they come to the Spirit, that everything will be as they desire it, that they will live and inhabit a home perhaps similar to the one they've had on earth, and that they will in consequence be content and desire for little end or anything else. These things do apply. These things are so. But for the old Spirit, the one who's been through incarnation after incarnation, who has delved and discovered and who has grown far removed from man's conception of man, has so clothed himself in spiritual quality and spiritual aspiration and power that he has become unlike man, because he has thrown from himself all that man was. If these things are difficult to appreciate, if these things are difficult to understand, I can only ask, as I said earlier on, that things will be said that will puzzle, things will be said that perhaps cannot easily be understood or accepted, but I'm trying desperately to make you and others whose minds are open to realize. And this, I think, is the vital point of my message. That there is so much to discover. There is so much that is far removed from the highest developed mind or experience of man's conception of things. There is so much that he cannot hope to appreciate yet. No matter what his particular aspirations may be, or his particular knowledge and experience may have made possible for him, that when man has reached a certain point, he realizes that he is far removed from the old conceptions of time, of space, of shape, form, when man has truly, truly risen to great heights. He is not any longer like man, as man. And he has become, in some measure, like unto a god. But by this I do not suggest, or want anyone to think, to be under the apprehension that I mean God in the orthodox material conception, sense of words and terms. These things are complex and difficult. But truly, those who have risen through great experience, and they have so clothed themselves in spiritual power, they truly have gone well past, far removed from all of the previous conceptions that man has had of eternal life and spiritual power and experience truly of great development. That is why when we come to you, as I have said and others must have said untold numbers of times, it is difficult to put into words these things. Your friends who have spoken to you, those I know well in particular, have tried to give you some vague outline. But those who have endeavored thus have had great difficulty. They have told you of their varying conditions in the spheres, and they have depicted places and experiences which are true, but what it is difficult for them to explain to you is that although those things have meaning and are so, they are only giving to you a part of themselves, not the complete. They have not been able to tell you yet how they have overcome sins, even their spiritual sins, in their spiritual sphere, or spiritual condition, or home, that they can, at will, leave, depart from their environment of which they have spoken, which pleasant and happy and congenial though it well is only again like unto another earth, in which they inhabit a body which is as real to them in that sphere of activity and life as yours is on your present earthly plane. They know this, and they know that they can withdraw from it as if it were in a kind of sleep state, leaving that body, or astral or spiritual body, call it what you will, and go into a greater and more wonderful place of experience. When I told you, as others have told you, that we were preparing a way for experiences which would be unique, which would be changed vastly from the old, in this psychic, if you call it, experience and experiment, we could not tell you then how these things would transpire, or in what way they would come. But we are on the threshold of new experiences, certainly new from your own. But I say to you, with patience, and with a mind I request it should be open. Particularly, I want the medium's mind to be completely freed from this. To be, as it were, if you like, and it's not a pleasant word, an adult. To realize he's truly an instrument, that he must react calmly and placidly to all that we strive to do, not in any way to interfere, consciously or subconsciously. And you shall see, if all goes as we feel it must now, remarkable things. Some things I've said to you tonight I have not put as well as I might or would like, because we are talking of cosmic forces, we are talking of powers of which possibly few men have ever spoken. And words do not come easily, when I must find words. What is important is perhaps not so much the words that may come in the future, but the experience. And it is the experience alone that will give to you the key that will unlock the door which has been for so long barred and bolted to knowledge and truth. You have been given some insight, it is true. You have been well guided, all of you. You have had great souls helped you at times, and all have served the purpose of the Spirit. But we feel now that we are truly at the beginning of a wider expansion of this world, and the power of the Spirit will be manifest in such a way that all who experience and all that hear the voice of the Spirit cannot but fail to be convinced of its validity, of its power, of its love, and truly of its oneness with the fountainhead of all life. You, my child, without your realizing it, have contributed to this a great deal. Above all, possibly, in love and impatience, more than anything else. But there are other qualities, and certain things yet that will be shown you from within yourself. I only ask, as indeed of all in past communication asked, for patience, for tolerance, could have. And the rest, truly, I know, will follow. Now I must go. I shall speak to you again.